9. Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to talk about the elements of prayer in a very simple, basic way to remember. In the pew notes that you have, you'll notice I have 7 points down there, and we will cover these fairly quickly. We will look at 7 basic elements in prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples. Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11 have what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it's more of a model prayer, and he tells his disciples about praying. Luke chapter 11 records that his disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Now, they were already people who prayed, so they were accustomed to prayers. Many Jews prayed twice a day, and there were some Jews who prayed 5 to 10 times a day. So why would they say, "Teach us to pray"? It's not as though it was a new idea. They had watched Jesus, and they sensed there was something about Jesus and his prayers that they could learn from. Now, I don't know what translation you're reading from, but I think the King James Version records this prayer as having 66 words. And did you know that out of those 66 words, 75% approximately, the words are one-syllable words. Isn't that amazing? Jesus speaks of the most deeply understood ideas of prayer, and he does it in just 66 words, and most of those words are one-syllable words. Truly remarkable how our Lord can boil down to the essence these things. The disciples were not asking to be taught that they needed to pray. They already knew they needed to pray. And they weren't asking to be taught how to pray. They already knew how to pray. They wanted to know what prayer was about. And so we'll talk here in the next few minutes about the essentials in prayer. The first thing, there has to be a sense of a family relationship. Our Father. Now, you could pray to God saying, "Oh God, infinite, all-powerful, creator of the universe, of the galaxies, and of the planets, and of the solar systems, and of all the stars." You could do that, but Jesus says that we can address God as our Father. The intimate family relationship. We have been adopted. If we are Christians, we've been adopted into his family, and the Father wants us to address him as Father. How do children address their father? They know that they have a special ear that's going to listen to them, that's going to be attentive to them and their needs. When we pray, what is happening? I'm having a conversation with my Father, and my Father in heaven cares about his child. So he listens as a father does to a child. Now, you fathers out there, when your son or daughter talks to you, speaks to you, makes a request, what do? You care about what they feel, what they think, what they want, what they to what they're requesting. Sometimes their requests may not be wise, and sometimes they are. But as a father, you listen to them with intent. He loves us, God the Father loves us more than we as fathers love our earthly children. However much you love your children, God the Father loves us even more than that. So just think about the depth of your love for your children. The Father in heaven loves us even more. That is a remarkable thing. He is powerful. The nice thing about prayers to God is that He is both able and willing to help. When we have a need or a fear or some problem, there are people we might go to who might be able to help us but not willing. Or we might go to someone who's willing to help us but not able. But with the Father in heaven, He is both willing and able to help, which is the perfect combination. He created the universe by speaking the word, and one day He will destroy the universe by just speaking a word. When we cease to pray as we should, we have probably lost the concept of our childhood before God. The child talks often because he wants his father to hear him. All of us as fathers driving down the road and the children in the back seat, and are we there yet? You know, Daddy, can we go here? Can we go there? Can we do this? Can they never stop talking? And as children of God, we should be going to God on a frequent, regular basis from a family perspective. Number two, there must be a sense of reverence. A sense of reverence. He wants us to address Him as Father, but He also wants us to balance it with a sense of reverence. Hallowed be Thy name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Don't become so familiar with God as though He's a buddy-buddy. He's not a buddy-buddy. He's our Father, who deserves to be reverenced and respected deeply. He's our Father. Now, we can approach that fact with lightness if we're not careful. Too much of a good thing can cause us to lose respect. So what Jesus is telling His disciples, and He's telling us, keep that healthy balance. Approach God as Father, because you're a child if you're a Christian, but also don't lose that reverence and respect for Him as though He's our equal, because He's not. He is higher than us, more powerful than us, wiser than us, stronger than us. And so we approach Him as Father, but we also hallow His name. His grace allows us to be there. And so, as a son, I'm to be reverent toward Him. Now, when I was a kid, I think I showed respect for my father. My earthly father, he and I had some differences of agreement. But I still always remembered he was my father, and I tried not to show him disrespect. But that didn't change just because I got to be 30 years old or 40 years old or 50 years old. My father died just a little over 10 years ago, so I was in my mid-50s when he died. And even then, in my mid-50s, I held my earthly father in a certain amount of respect. He was my father. And so our view toward God is always to hallow His name. Don't be flip with God. Don't be casual with God. Don't treat Him as though He's just one of the guys, for He's not. Number three, there must be a sense of concern for the rule of God, or a sense of mission. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. Now, there are times in the New Testament where the word kingdom is used to talk about the church, and the church has come. The church was established on Pentecost Day in Acts chapter 2. So in that sense, the kingdom came, but the word kingdom sometimes is used to refer to the rule and the reign and the dominion of God. And in that sense, we can pray it today. I want God's rule and reign and dominion to take place on the earth. Do you not? I want his rule and reign and dominion to conquer the hearts of more and more and more people. I want them to learn to respect and to love him and voluntarily come under his rule. I don't think he's primarily talking about the church's coming, because in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, he has already said, Jesus has already said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now in Matthew 5, 3, if theirs is the kingdom of heaven and the church hasn't been established yet, clearly Jesus is using the word kingdom in a different sense from the word church. There are times when kingdom refers to the church. There are some times when kingdom refers to a bigger picture of the rule and the reign of God. So what do I pray for? I pray for the rule of God to come into the hearts of men. And that is really where the essence of the problem lies. As we share the gospel, as we spread the gospel, as we talk to others about Jesus, there's nothing better that we can do to help society and help people's lives than for people to learn to submit, to fall in love with Jesus Christ, to fall in love with the Father. So, thy will be done. You know, when the angels in heaven, when God expresses his will, you know what the angels do? They instantly obey. And may that be so in our lives. May it be so in our lives that when we learn what the will of God is, we just say, I'm yours. I'm here to serve you. In fact, I want to pray right now. Let's pray together. Our Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you for who you are, what you have done, and the sending of your Son. Father, your church is yours. It is not ours. You have added us to your glorious, beautiful church. And therefore, Father, we are servants in that church, and it is your will, it is the will of your Son Jesus that we seek. And we pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Number four, there must be a sense of dependence, a sense of dependence. Let me start again. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I am dependent every day for everything I need to live. Water, food, shelter, clothing. Because you and I have the ability to store enough food for several weeks in advance, we have refrigeration, we have canning, we have all of these ways that we can stock up on food and beverages that cover more than just one day, we may not appreciate, because in this day, these folks generally only had enough food for that day, and the next day they had to go out and find food again. So we may take for granted this idea, but the fact is, whether we have 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months worth of food stocked up, it still comes from God. We are dependent upon him. Give me this day our needful bread. My life depends on him. My life began from him. It's sustained by him. Its ending will be controlled by him. Who gave you the breath of life? God. Who gave you the hands to work with, your job? God did. Who gave you feet and brain and talents, whether you type for a living or whether you are a pipe fitter or you are a plumber or an electrician or a carpenter, whatever you do, every bit of ability you have and physical strength you have has come as a gift from God. And we always want to remember that in our lives. You know, some have said that when Jesus says, give us this day It's a morning prayer. Because you wouldn't normally say that at 10 p.m. at night before bed, would you? Normally you would say, give us this day, meaning it might be 6 a.m., might be 7 a.m., and you're saying, God, I have this day before me. You know what I need. Please give me this day my daily bread. And the word bread means more than just flour and water that's been baked. It represents all that we need for that day. It's just a metaphor for all that we need for that day. Number five, there must be a sense of forgiveness. I need forgiveness, and you need forgiveness. Never forget that. I don't live sinlessly. Oh, I would like to. I wish I did, but I don't. I sin, and I need God's forgiveness. And then he makes an interesting statement. He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God is watching me as I treat others with forgiveness. If I am unforgiving to others, he sees that I'm unforgiving. And how I am unforgiving is how he will view me. Isn't that a great motivation to be forgiving? Forgiveness is so important. It's one of the great tests of the Christian life, to forgive other people. Forgive us our sins. The first part of that is not that hard. It's easy for us to ask God to forgive, but the second part is a little bit more difficult. As we treat others, so we will be treated. As we treat others, that is how we will be treated. Makes you think, doesn't it? It kind of sobers us up to some realities there. Do I have such a sense of forgiveness? I have a sinful nature, and you do too. There is a fight that is going on inside of us. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There is a contest, there is a battle going on. We want to do what's right, but you and I both know we have those impulses inside of us that want to take over. And he wants us to realize that battle. If there is no sense of sinfulness, there is no sense of prayer. Paul said this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul put himself at the top of the list of sinners. Now you might think, why would he do such a thing? Paul the apostle, the man who preached and evangelized all over the world so much as he did, and yet he had a deep sense of his own sinfulness and his need. Number six, there must be a sense of need of guidance, a desire for purity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. This is the real test that we are expressing to God, that we really don't want to mess with sin. We don't want to play with sin. We are serious about avoiding sin. Lead me not. There should be within us a desire to not sin or to be tempted to sin. We want to depend totally on the guidance of God. Every step, don't take a step without Jesus. And when you are living each day, have this desire for guidance, for a desire for purity, and mean it when you say to God, lead me not into temptation. We don't want to be looking for temptation. It'll come our way fast enough. We just don't want to be looking for it. We want to avoid it as much as we can and ask God's help in doing so. And then finally, there should be a sense of praise in our prayers. For yours is the kingdom, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Kingdom, power, and glory are His, and I want to see more of it. I want to see more of God's kingdom, more of His power, and more of His glory take over the hearts and the lives of men. And in my prayers, in our prayers, there should be a sense of praise. So quickly, what have we seen? The essentials of prayer. There has to be a sense of a family relationship. I as a child, as a son of God, or you as a daughter of God, we go to the Father and address Him as our Father who cares about us. There has to be a sense of reverence. Hallowed be Your name. A sense of mission. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A sense of dependence, that we need Him every day, that we are not the masters of our destiny that we think that we are. It is He who provides for us. There has to be a sense of forgiveness, which requires humility. I ask God for forgiveness, and He wants to look at me and say, what kind of forgiveness are you extending to others around you? That's very important. There has to be a sense of a need of guidance, that is, the desire for purity. Don't be led into temptation. And then finally, a sense of praise. We could spend probably an entire 3 months studying this in depth. I mean, I've only touched the surface of this. And yet, look what Jesus has said. Look what our Lord has taught us about prayer here. The essentials of prayer. Do you have a sense of a family relationship? Are you a child of God? Do you have a reverence for God? Do you have a concern for God's rule? Do you have a dependence upon Him and a sense of your own sinfulness? Do you have a sense of a need of guidance? And do you have a sense of praise? If there is little or no prayer in the life, there is little or no sense of the above. And may I suggest that if the only prayers you offer are as when you lie down on your bed at night, and your head is on your pillow, and that's when you pray, may I suggest you need to do more than that. You need to get on your knees for some period of time every day and pray to God in specific, clear ways. Because it's not wrong to fall asleep praying. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if that's all of our prayers, then we have really missed the point, because prayer is powerful and God will hear our prayers. Prayer is work. Are you a child of God? Do you believe in Jesus, and have you confessed His name? Have you turned from sins, and have you been baptized in water for the remission of your sins? The Bible teaches all of that. Would you become a Christian today? Become a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. And you can call God your Father and start a new journey. Come now while we stand and sing. There is God.